So people like him, listen to this. It is not bragging if he says, I can't fly economy class. It's not. Do you understand my point? It's not raking. It's not like, we are big boys, praise God. We don't fly economy. No. You'll be doing the man a great disservice because the only place he gets to sleep is on a plane. He has to lie down. So the minimum he'll fly is business class. It's twice the price of economy, but that's the minimum. If God supplies enough resources, he'll pay six times the price of economy to be in first class. Because that's where he sleeps. You see the way Christians reason? So it's not, oh, praise God. We stopped flying economy long ago. Hey, amen. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad to fly business class. But listen, it's not a bragging point. It's a needful matter. The other day I saw it. I didn't read it in detail, but I saw a small bit of it. They said, P-Square. Said they bought a private jet. And people say, what are they doing with it? You see, like I always say, I don't know where P-Square was yesterday or where they were. P-Square, two people. Where they were yesterday, I do not know. Where were they last week? I have no idea. Where were they 2-3 weeks ago? I don't know. So why should I decide what they need and what they don't need? They said, I read a line that said they needed to connect between their frequent engagements. If that's what they mean, and if they are serious about it, it's a good reason to buy a private jet if you can afford it. If your 1 hour is equivalent to 10 million naira, please buy a private jet. Because every 1 hour you spend waiting at an airport is 10 million naira wasted. You are getting the point. That's Christianity. That's something they explain. We don't count our lives based on the things that we possess. But material things are used. We use them. They are to be what? Used. I'm in an issue here. But when people don't understand that they have the worldly mentality. Oh, I have 4 houses in Abuja, praise God. 2 in Lagos. What are you doing with them? Nothing. He's not into any form of business, but he thinks he's the value of his life. It's a sign that, yes, now I can see where my money is going. That's a very stupid thing. Christians don't think like that, too. You should be able to see where your money is going. Like, as it's accumulating land for you, house for you, stock for you. It's not Christian thinking. I'm not saying you should be wasteful. If where your money is going, you are sponsoring evangelism. You don't even have to remember. If where your money is going, you are helping those who cannot pay fees. You don't have to remember that. Hey, listen, okay, they all owe me. They know. They know now I'm their benefactor. Listen, it's not necessary. Just do what is right and leave it there. It is not Christian thinking to say, hey, all these days you've been working. We've been wondering what you are doing with your money. None of your business what I'm doing with my money. Someone say, no, you know, if you don't buy this kind of one of my friends said something very funny. So he told me that there's something we said about milk, baby milk, you know, breast milk for children, all of that. And I said, wait, are you telling me that you have a small baby in the house that's still breastfeeding? And he said, yes now. I said, oh boy, are you seeing this inside our business? He said, you see, if I don't have this number of children, they'll be wondering what I'm doing with my money. At least when I have many children, they will know I'm training children. That was what a friend of mine told me. I looked at him like, wait, are you together? You are having plenty of children so you can explain where your money is going. You don't have to have children so you can train them. If you can train other people's children, many people who have children, they don't have the ability to say, schools are expensive these days. If you hear what government schools are charging, you run. These days, if you don't have a million, you can't go to law school. Am I lying? When I heard their fees, you must buy a computer first. That's 100,000+. Law school and their school fees. Then you must work. You must buy a book. At the end of that 1 year, 1 million will not go. So if you don't know what to do with your money, go to law school and say, hello, who can buy a computer here? I have a few for sale at 95% discount. They will love you for life. The Lord is good. I'm trying to bring an issue here. Please listen. I'm talking about value system. I'm talking about what? I'm talking about what? This is how Christians reason. It's not a sign of success for a believer that now I finished my house. Now people will see where my money is going. If my money is going to the toilet, none of their business. It's true. I remember once my mother visited. I was in Lagos then. He said that, your auntie said you spent all your money buying tapes. This tape, you know, those things were costlier than now, relative to what people earned. I told my mother, I said, you didn't notice she said, what? My money, not her money. She has not come to tell you that Banky spends all my money buying tapes. He spends all his money buying tapes. Because then, I had them plenty, you know. I used to store my tapes in cartons, you know. 10, 10, 10, 10, stack them, bought them every day. I used to buy tapes in cartons like that. I go to the market once, buy like 30. And I start making copies of different messages and all of that. Buy books. One day my mother saw my books and all of that. She was not talking to my sister. These things are costly. And my sister was sick that time. And my sister pointed out to her that none of those books was as expensive as a packet of Tarivid that she was taking. So my mother kept quiet. That's my younger sister. Pointed to my mother that this book that you're saying is costly. It's cheaper than the packet of this medicine. And I'm through with that packet in a week. Now, I'm trying to explain something. So don't forget this one that people, they now see where my money is going. I don't know why I'm just sitting on this matter. Sometimes the problem of Christians, people who don't need cars are buying them. Why? They have to explain where their money is going. People are buying land. Why? They don't have to explain where their money is going. They are building houses they don't have any plans for. Why? They must explain where their money is going. They are taking trips they can't afford. Why? They must explain where their money is going. It's a sign that you're not a big boy. How are you? Last weekend, you know, my friend was wedding in the U.S., so I had to go. The guy, he doesn't love that guy at all. You understand my point? He just has to be able to say it. It's foolishness. It's madness. Carry a phone that you don't know the functions just because everybody is carrying it. Some people don't know how to use the internet. But they want a phone that can browse. They have never Googled up anything in their lives. But everybody is carrying a smartphone. Like somebody said, smartphone, stupid people. I'm talking about what? Value system. Let's look at Moses. I've not forgotten what I'm talking about. He said, that's verse 24. When he grew up, he refused the place of luxury where he was. He said that, verse 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Talking about the value system that somebody has. That's what decides the kind of temptation he or she will fall for. Do you get my point? Listen, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Which means a Christian does not choose a job primarily because of the amount of money they pay. So a Christian does not value everything in life by, you know, financial value. From time I've said it to people and I keep on saying it. You don't travel to Europe or US or Australia or whatever it is because money is easier to make there. It is foolishness. Let me explain something quickly before I sit down on that. Verse 25 says, he chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I want to explain two phrases there. The people of God, or a number of phrases, not just two. The issue of ill treatment with the people of God and then passing pleasures of sin. First, let me talk about sin. Somebody says sin. You know one of the problems that causes confusion in the life of Christians? They wrongly define sin. What do I mean? What is sin? Adultery is sin. And it is sin. Stealing is sin. And it is sin. Lying is sin. And that is sin. But they hardly ever conceive in their minds that not being in the place that God wants you to be is sin. Let me explain. Now I said life carries you. Let me explain this again. David, there's a way we look at it. When David went after Bathsheba, He was taking a stroll, the Bible says, on the walls of his palace at the time that kings were supposed to be at war. You are following that point? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the council or sit in the seat of and then stand. Which one does he do first? Does he stand first? Walk, stand, and then sit. Yes. He starts strolling around there. Then he stands to see what's in the house. They give him a chair. The problem is not the sitting. It was where he was walking. The sitting is the consequence of walking recklessly and starting to observe things that don't concern you. You know, when I go to buy things sometimes, they say, oh, God, sit down. I said, listen, I didn't come here to play with you. I came to buy something. I never enter shops in Ogwete. It's there for our other shops. Sit down. Once they talk like that, I walk. I said, listen, I didn't come here to play with you. I came here to buy something. Do you have... Sit down first. Why should I sit down? Once you sit, you don't jones with that. They will scalp you before you go. I'm not sitting. Now, I'm bringing something here. So, you see, it's not the sitting there that in that particular context is the problem. That is a manifestation of the problem that began because of the way the fellow was walking. So, when everybody was supposed to go somewhere, David did not go. That exposed him totally to all kinds of temptations. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when did David sin? When he took Bathsheba, we think, no. That was the manifestation of his sin. I said one of the problems with Christianity is how we define sin. Sin is always those things that, you know, Catholics don't like, Muslims don't like. Anglicans don't like, you know what I'm saying? Religious people don't like. That's what we think sin is. But it's not always that glaring. Sin is being in the place where you are not supposed to be. You have not done anything, no. So when he talks about the passing pleasures of sin, it does not necessarily mean that Moses was chasing all the girls in the palace. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. The fact that he woke up in the morning and somebody would be fanning him while the Jews were suffering under slavery was sin. Let me explain this to you again. You know, I wrote a book, so who will pay for this? A lot of people are driving cars that are supposed to have done evangelism. I don't know what I hear what I said. You hear what I said? A lot of people took money that God gave them to help somebody else. They used it to travel abroad. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Sin is not always when you steal somebody's thing. Sin is God gives you money. Say, listen, you will do this for me. Go and read my book again. How to Work for God. I divided about 5 different ways by which, or 6, you can give to God. Many people have, you know, they are walking in sin. Why? The only way they know how to give to God is the work of the ministry and the man of God. No other way. They've stolen from Peter, and they're now used to pay Paul. Listen to me, it is sin also. That's a matter of fact. Sin is not just when I steal somebody's thing. I told you a story once. I was here. One young man came to see me. Came for counseling. He talked about all his troubles. When he finished, I shook my head. I said, wait, let me get something right. It appears to me like the money your father gave you to pay your fees in school, you used it for evangelism. He said, yes. I said, you're a criminal. The word I used was, you're a rogue. He was taken aback. You know, I'm a preacher. I should have said, man, the zeal that this boy has for God, may God lift him up. No. I said, do you work? No. What are you, a student? Who gave you the money? Your father. For who? The bosser of your university. You use it to rent equipment for village evangelism. You should go to jail. The boy was surprised. I said, what is the way out of your trouble now? He said, tell me, sir. I said, go home prostrate, because the boy was now suffering. God did not come through the way he thought he would. You know, we think that once it is for God, it's okay. The guy was in trouble. His father was going to behead him. So he came to me. I said, you know what you are going to do? You will go home. and prostrate before your father and say, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. I'm not bringing that issue. We would have thought it was righteousness what he did. I said, but it's not righteousness. It's not righteousness. It's not your money. It's your father's money. And he gave it to you. He labeled it. This is your tuition fees or tuition. Go and pay. You didn't pay. Your zeal, you went to hire equipment. Say, what should we have done with village evangelism? I'll tell you. Should I have gone to pay fees with the money given for fees? Then the one they gave you for food. Yes, because you see, that woman, the widow of Zarephath, what happened? Elijah came and said, give me to eat. He said, I have enough food for how many people? Two people. So he gave Elijah, she gave Elijah her portion, not her son's portion. That one is not the will of God. Her son's portion was kept intact. Her own portion she gave to Elijah. If you want to multiply that, go ahead. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. I said, you should have just given the son's portion to the son and your portion to Elijah. You should have gone on fasting. 3 days dry fasting. That will give you some change. That money you use for evangelism. Or better still, who told you villagers need loudspeakers? Did you ever read about loudspeakers in the Bible? If you really love the Lord, just stand there and shout, "The soldiers in it! He shall die." They will believe you. If they don't believe you, it's not a lack of speakers. It's because there's no anointing upon you. I'm talking about what? Sin. Because this wrong definition of sin is what keeps us in bondage. We'll be walking in sin and have this illusion of righteousness. Meanwhile, the very thing we are doing that we think is righteousness is this thing that God is calling sin. It is not that Moses was there in the palace shooting people at random like Saddam Hussein's sons. We are not sure he did that. There's no reason to believe he did that. It's not as if he was there snatching people's wives. Am I because of the passing pleasures of sin? No. Just to wake up in the morning and sit in judgment in a comfortable hall while the brethren were suffering as slaves was sin. I hope you are following what I'm saying. You know, I said earlier that ministry is geographical. Many pastors are walking in sin. God said, stay in, let's take, we're in Enugu now, so let's use Enugu as an example. Then after the guy pastors for a while, he said, man, the offering here is not good. Now, it sounds like a joke. If you're a minister, listen to this, because it's very common. Don't do it. It is wrong. Then he goes to open a branch in Lagos so that the Lagos people can be remitting their money to Enugu. Yeah, preachers, do it. It's not necessary. They think it's wisdom. I have been counseled before that it is wisdom. It's not wisdom, it is foolishness. Some don't even do that. That's the nice ones. They will close the shop, you know what I mean, in Enugu, and disappear to Lagos. Why? Lagos is where people that have the financial resources are. Then they open the church in Lagos. Ministry is geographical. If God planted you in Enugu, you are walking in sin. Every day you shall praise the Lord in that church in Lagos. The fact that your friends in Abuja, their church members bought them brand new Rolls Royce. And in Enugu, they even collect money from you when you enter Keke Napep. It's not allowed as a reason why you should change from where you are supposed to preach and go somewhere else. There's one big minister in this country, I won't mention his name. They say he's a preacher, his brother is a preacher. He's in Lagos, his brother is in another of these one of these southwest towns and cities, one of them. The brother in Lagos is well known. If I mention the name, you know it. You know his name. But that the one in one of the other Ibadan, and the parents call him one, they say, listen, is it not this same job that you are doing, that your brother is doing? It appears like it is this place where you are that's the problem. Better move and go to Lagos also, from where the issue is flowing. Listen, if you take that step, you have started walking in sin. Let me say something to you. I said earlier, it's not the sitting that's the problem. It's what? The walking. That progress to the standing and then the sitting. Now listen to this. The sitting is a manifestation of the wrong walk. A lot of preachers, you now hear that, have you heard? This man drove his wife and married another woman, and he's now living in adultery. The problem was not adultery. It's a manifestation of a ministry that God did not send him to. For those of you who are preachers, listen to what I'm saying. Your problems began the day you walked out of where you are supposed to be. Next thing, you are stealing money. Next thing, the one day they will catch you and digging. You are boxing inside church office. Why? There's 200,000 naira that's not balanced. Goes out. Two people go to fight. Listen, the problem is not lack of self-control. The problem is that he was not supposed to be in that city doing that ministry. The problem is that nobody sent him to pastor in the first place. The problem is that he has walked out of where he was supposed to be. Sin is not just I stole somebody's money. Oftentimes, those are the manifestations of the real, you get my point? Real problems, which are not so overt. They're not so glaring as if they are sin. Many years ago, somebody told me a story. I was somewhere, you know, with ministers. We're talking. And the wife of one of the ministers was there. Was telling me, this man of God, I used to be like this. This other man of God started asking him. You know, like, let's assume now that, let me just put names to make it real. Let us assume now that, what can I get as an example? Anyway, let forget the names. But let's assume the young man is there doing a particular work. He's moving around, teaching, evangelism, do all kinds of things. And one man started telling him that, look, your ministry needs to explode. You need a base from which you will get. They kept him all kinds of counsel. Start a church, start a church, start a church, start a church. Now, starting a church is good, though. Did you hear what I said? Is it good or bad? My wife can testify to you, there are people who start churches and I'm happy. A friend of mine, I told him, oh boy, go and start a church. That's what you are supposed to be doing. That was my opinion. So I'm not saying it is wrong, but in this particular man's situation, I think it was wrong. But this is the point. That, of course, my opinion. As soon as he did, you know what happened? The ministry exploded. You know they call it explosion? That is, small boy in one small town before became an international renowned preacher. Now, you know, before he used to go alone. Jump from one bus to another or drive his own car and then stop somebody driving at the airport, catch a small flight, then he carries his own bag, you know, normal guy. You understand my point? But now he has become an entourage man. You know what they call entourage? You never seen him before? Yes, you know, siren, some of them, flashing light. Is it bad? If you are the governor, it's perfect. It's all right, all right? So I'm not saying anything wrong with it. But he was not that kind. No, some people are that important. I can't imagine Billy Graham coming to Nigeria and he goes to Faith Motors and says, please, I'm going to Benin. Mean a shift. Let's not deceive ourselves. It doesn't make sense. If I see that kind of thing, I will quickly drop my wife and children in an taxi, put him in my car, and drive him to wherever he's going. It's the will of God, amen? So it's a sign of, it can be a sign of being important, all right? The reason why presidents have entourage and all of that is because they need it. It's not show. You get my point? The security men, all those kind of people, they are important in his entourage. This man became an important man too. Became a papa. Somebody say papa. Became a papa. Ministry exploded, they said. That's what I was told. Many years down the line, I began to hear bad things. You know what they call bad things? All kinds of bad things, which I shall not repeat because I'm preaching and my microphone is holy. Amen? I began to hear bad things. This happened. No, all kinds, you know, things that are not becoming of the newest convert. You are now hearing from the biggest man of God. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let me just leave it like that. Now, I'm going somewhere. When I heard those things and the consequences, you know, all I remembered was that about 10 years before, somebody had told me that, after they pressured him, he left the ministry that he was doing and began something that caused an instant what? Explosion. But listen to me. This is my own judgment too. That weakened him. He began to walk. I'm talking about sin. He didn't steal anybody's money. He didn't do any of those things. But he was now walking until he began to stand. And then finally they gave him a seat. And once he sat down, that was trouble. His problem began when he listened to the big prophet. You know, there are two prophets. There's a small prophet and the senior prophet who has stopped hearing God but knew all the political maneuvering in town. I'm talking about what? Sin. Rapid growth. You know what one of my friends said? He said, people talk about church growth. He said, don't forget, cancer is a growth. You hear what I said? That growth is not always good. The other day, I was in a conference for 2 days where all the specialists around were gathered on how to treat a particular form of cancer. It's growth. Why didn't you just say, oh, come on, guys, it's growth. Let it grow. It's not every growth in your life that's good, though. If I say this, it will surprise you. There are people who leave one job for another, and their salary triples overnight, and that's a cancerous salary. It's growth. But that is what is going to kill that guy. Let me just add this one quickly. Let me just say it simply. Don't let them use money entice you to do everything. Like I say, it's not every business that's your business. Not every business concerns you. Every time you talk about teaching as an example, people think it's something you do if you have nothing else to do. One a friend of mine told me that, now he's a lawyer, so he was trying to get a job in a university somewhere. And after a while, they were doing it, and I said, let him just forget it and maintain his practice. And he was doing well in his practice. I said, oh boy, you're about to pass over a great opportunity. That is for me to be a teacher. Oh boy, don't let it pass. You are going to have an opportunity. Few people. Now, I'm not going to issue here. I'm not saying he must do it. I'm just saying there's a perspective, all right, with which you can look at it. I said, this is an opportunity to preach the word of God to people. Not by shouting, praise the Lord, open your Bibles, the book of Isaiah chapter 58. No. Just start explaining family, you know, life values to them. I'm a university teacher. And I know I do that a lot. But my students enjoy it. I teach them how to make career choices, life choices, marriage choices. In fact, a particular of my class, everybody started buying the book. Because by the time I finished teaching them everything inside the book, I think it now dropped from my mouth that I wrote it in a book. Okay, where is the book? See, the idea of are they Christians or not, besides the point, that is an exposure to the word of God. I'm not joking about this. Many people have given their lives to Christ because they heard me teach pathology. I'm not kidding about it. I say simple things like, maybe I come to class. I remember one day, I was just remarking that I was hungry in class and after being done in lecture. Okay, you didn't eat this morning, sir. I said, no, my wife traveled. The boy said, that's good. Now we can get you an auxiliary. My wife traveled. So the boy said, you know the way the boy is joking, class. Okay, auxiliary now, you know. Now, I could laugh and pass the advice. I didn't laugh. I just said, no, it's not good. No, it's not good. Let me tell you why it's not good. I begin to teach. I talk about the strength of a man's soul. How you waste your energy on adulterous women. If it's gone like a joke, I start telling all kinds of stories. People will laugh, but a lot have heard it. They've heard the truth. I teach what the problem with Nigeria is. Once I got to class, my class captain misbehaved. I got to class, power was not on. Why is the power not on in class? The generator is up in the department. He said, they couldn't find the temp. I was angry. But I said, I called him, called about three other boys who like technical things. Come, let's go. Trace this wire. I showed him how to do it. At the end of the day, it cost us 15 minutes, but they fixed the problem. And I gave another 15-minute lecture in class that day on how to handle life's challenges. I said, you see, you saw it. It's not of your being. You just left it. I said, but you put in a little bit of effort. Did you not solve it? I said, many times in life, you will meet challenges. Put in a little effort. You'll be amazed at the result you will get. Do you get the point I'm making? Some people have that opportunity, then they give them a job that pays 5 times more. You are getting my point? Aha! You know what he's thinking about? Now I can buy a car. You see what I'm saying? Now my life consists in the abundance. My life consists in the abundance of tires which I possess. Now, that's why I studied all the things I was saying. All right? All the things I'm saying now with the things I said at the beginning. By explaining values. Value. You can't just trade things that matter for things that are temporal. You know what I say all the time? You know why they call things temptations?